Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Hello.
Sean Preece.
Hello.
And Tim Schwartz.
Hello.
Hey! Oh, we all sound a bit down this week, don't we? Goodness me! Hello, yes, this is Tech Talk, folks. Lovely to have you back with us once again. I am here. Yes. So is Tim Schwartz. He's here. Hello.
Hello, Stephen Scott. How are you?
I am good. Thank you, Tim. I'm good. Sean Preece is also here. Are you well this week, Sir Sean?
Hello. Yes, I am amazing this week. I'm feeling good.
Well, you know what? You should tell your voice.
I sound beautiful.
Right, okay. I believe you, thousands of women. Yes, apparently, I don't know if you heard this, but Monday just there was the bluest day of the year. You hear this? This is what they call it Blue Monday, because it's apparently the time of year that we all give up on our New Year's resolutions, we stop going to the gym, we stop doing all those things. And I have to say, since not doing resolutions and not trying to lose weight, at least in any kind of meaningful sense, I find I don't have a Blue Monday in January. I feel fine.
Yeah, if by losing weight you mean eating lots of sweets and chocolates, then you're doing well, Stephen.
I'm doing great.
It's the happy Mondays for us.
Yeah, it's the happy Mondays. Yes. You got it.
Anyway, it's Tuesday, so I suppose we should move on.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Anyway, let's continue, because we've got lots to talk about this week. Tim and I... Sean was invited, but he didn't come. Tim and I went along to a webinar. I say went along as if we actually moved out of our house. We didn't. But it was, you know, I like to think that I went to the place. Microsoft held their first webinar on their accessibility software. Actually, you know, I was quite surprised they started doing this, but I'm really glad they did. Tim and I will share our thoughts. These two are very excited about Siri Shortcuts.
Oh, no, it's great.
Siri Shortcuts is amazing. Yeah. You need to just get on the bandwagon and deal with it. It does so many wonderful things.
Deal with it, Stephen. Deal with it.
News. Deal. Not interested. Right, that's coming up on today's Tech Talk. And... not just that, we're going to be doing other stuff as well. We're going to be looking at the news. There's lots of news at the moment doing the rounds, in particular around Android. And as you know, with my new Pixel 3, I'm now Mr. Android sitting here. So, you know, my experience has been, I'm trying to think how many weeks now, 2 weeks, maybe three?
Wow.
Weeks
I've had it. That's a long time relationship for you.
Yeah, for you, that's impressive. Yes.
Yeah, ask my wife. No, it's been good.
I meant with tech. That's
that oh, I see. Right, right. Right. Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I am pretty impressed, I must say. I'm liking it. I think I'm getting, you know, things that used to really irritate me. And I think it's always the same with technology. It's fine when you're in that, what you might call controlled environment. Maybe you're sitting at home and you're trying out a piece of tech. As we often do, that's what we kind of do. We spend time sort of testing different things out. The problem is what I like to call the real-world test, yes. Which is you're in an environment where you need to say, as was the case the other last week, I think it was, I had to get a phone number from an email. And you know that way I'm holding the phone thinking, I hope I can get to this phone number because this is the only way I can get to it at the moment. And I really need this number. And, you know, being able to navigate to it, get the information I was looking for, understanding the granularity now, you know, being able to switch between characters and words and how to do all that, and, you know, being able to navigate. Yeah, I am really liking it. I will say this. Tim asked me this off air. We were talking, because we do speak occasionally when we're not on here.
Every day. For minutes, sometimes hours.
And sometimes hours, yeah. We do spend a lot of time together. I think our wives are starting to get a bit concerned, if I'm honest.
They should.
But I sometimes feel that my entire life is just a one endless episode of Tech Talk. I'm not complaining. I just want to put that out there.
We love it.
Of course we do.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're talking about the phone and having the Android phone versus, you know, the iPhone. And what was it like to go back to the iPhone afterwards? And I will say it's a bit like a comfortable pair of slippers. You know, you know where you are. it works. And you know, I do sometimes feel, right, okay, I'm back to where I was. I like this. But what I would say is, just on experience, you know, I've used the iPhone for much longer. You know, been dabbling with that with Android last year for a little bit, properly now for 3 weeks. I'm nowhere near, and I'll never probably get to the level of experience I ever had with an iPhone. So, of course, that experience is always going to be either better or more comfortable or more familiar.
Yeah.
So, for that reason, I am trying not to compare at the moment. I'm really trying not to compare, because it's not so much about the features or the abilities of the device. I don't think they're really in question anymore. I think I would say to anybody who is considering at this point in time, if you're thinking, right, coming to the end of my phone contract, or I'm looking to get a smartphone, which one should I go for? I would say, if you can afford to get a contract with one of the two main, well, actually, maybe three, maybe two is maybe unfair, because on the left, you've got Android, and you've got, say, in there, I would say two options. You've got the top-of-the-line Samsung, and you've got top-of-the-line Google Pixel. Beyond that, you're kind of taking a gamble with the quality of, especially the top-back software, because what you're doing is your quality of that device might be different. The experience might be different because of the hardware inside the phone. So top-back might be a bit more sluggish.
And the operating system's a bit more of a free-for-all as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is, again, that's a really important point, because you go from different manufacturer to different manufacturer, and they all have their own version of Android. It is Android, but it's kind of been masked a little bit. And that can sometimes affect the way that, especially top-back, I'm talking here about top-back and from that, looking at everything through that prism, it can have an impact. But again, as well, if you've got low vision and you want to use the magnification, a lower cost device won't have as good a screen, so that might make it more difficult. It might not be as bright, might not be as enjoyable an experience. So that might put you off, and that could put people off. It put me off Android for a long time. Whereas now, actually, you know, taking the step to get the Google Pixel 3, using it, top level phone, then comparing that to, on the other side, the iPhone, I would say those are your three top. I haven't tried a Samsung S9, but I could probably say, hand on heart, without even trying it, it's going to be as good as the Google Pixel in terms of quality. There'll be slightly different features. I mean, Samsung have even adapted top back a little bit, so it might even be a bit different.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. That's the thing. I don't know the numbers. I don't know the stats on this. I'd love to know, but I would be really interested to hear from people, you know, on some kind of worldwide survey, if they ever did one, on whether or not people who buy a specific brand of Android phone always stick with that brand. So if you buy Samsung, do you always buy Samsung? If you buy LG, do you always buy LG? Because I think once you get used to something like this, whether you're sighted or not, it's that familiarity that's key. So I think that is where I would, at this stage, I would say the Android is well worth the consideration. I would think from a learning perspective, it's probably even a bit easier than the iPhone, because you've less to learn instantly. I think anyone who has trouble with the rotor on an iPhone, this, you know, sort of turning your hand, almost putting two fingers on the screen and turning like a key, that can be a bit problematic. That doesn't exist in Android. Instead, you just swipe up and down with one finger. So that sort of change of granularity or change of options is a bit easier. I am impressed. I mean, essentially up and down, left and right, and that's all you really need to know.
I like the sound of that. I think you're right. In the real life test, in it, that's where it lives or dies. It's yes. Fine sitting down and going through various apps, but it's when you're rushing around and you need to do something, that's when, am I going to revert back, or am I going to see if this can really cope with it and do it? And I think it's also really fair, and I actually liked your analogy, Stephen. I like the comfy slippers, because it's all about time, spending that time, and it's only fair. 2-3 weeks isn't enough for you to totally know all the things it can do, as in talk back, all its features, no matter how much you read, it's actually using it. I remember using the iPhone when I first got it, and I thought I knew everything. I read everything, as at least I thought so. And then about, I don't know, a few months in, someone said, why do you keep hitting the back button? Just do the two-finger scrub gesture. I knew nothing about it. I did not know that existed. So there's always something new to learn when you're using it.
Hang on. What is that gesture? Because are you talking about going back, so instead of finding the back button... Yep.
So it's like...
I didn't know there was an option for that.
Stop it.
I didn't know.
Well, people sometimes... It can be a little tricky. I describe it as like you're trying to rub out something on the screen. It goes backwards, diagonally up, okay? And two fingers just zigzag across the screen. And that will go back from any screen. It will go back to the previous page, or it will close a folder down.
Wow.
Some people also say it's like drawing a Z, but backwards on the screen. So, you know, there's different...
All right, okay. That's... Yes.
Yes,
your future in training is not going anywhere, but I will...
well, look, either
but
way...
No, that's good, I get that.
What I'm saying is that there's things that you don't really get to know. There's nuances there that you learn as you're actually using the device because you need to use it. So I think that's really fair.
Yeah, the more comfortable you get with it, Stephen, it will be interesting to see once you've reached that comfort level, then go back to an iPhone. What is the comparison? Because I think you're both right. It's fair to not really compare them this early. It is going to be more fair to compare it once you're more comfortable and really know the operating system better. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if you are still with it a month, 2 months, 6 months from now, you know, how it compares then.
I think I will be. I think I will be. I've got that feeling because I am enjoying the experience. I also like the ability to try new things with it. I'm using it essentially as a work phone just now, and that in some ways is meaning I'm not using it to the potential at the moment. So what I want to do over the next few weeks, I initially just wanted to get used to the navigation, yeah. Really kind of bed in that knowledge, and then start to add apps and try different things there. You'll find that some operating systems would be better, but of course at the end of the day we do have to make a choice. We're not all rich enough to have every single device that's out there, which is best at the moment. Yes, Apple iPhone was good and is good and continues to be good, but truth be told, Android's getting there. And I think it's beyond getting there, actually. I would say it's there.
Yes.
You just have to make the leap. So I guess, you know, I think I'm just trying not to say go and buy one in case you don't like it and then you blame me. I think that's ultimately what it is.
There's gaps on each side, though. There's things on iPhone that you think, that's great, why isn't it on Android, and vice versa. So swings and roundabouts, as they say.
Well, that brings us nicely onto our sort of main topic today, which is the Microsoft webinar. And
that's what we started talking about.
That's what we started talking about, yeah. I think, ultimately, the reason this interested me so much and the reason I've been quite excited about Narrator is because it's a bit like the Android thing. You know, it's kind of had... We've seen a massive change, I think, last year. It's been massive, yet no one's really kind of seen it or been aware of it, but it's been there in that more and more technology is becoming more accessible to us. More of the technology you see in big stores is available to us. We can buy it, we can use it. Yes, you need to know what you're doing. Yes, you need a modicum of understanding about it. I'm not saying it's perfect for everybody, but basically, with the knowledge, it is accessible. It's not impossible anymore. It's not a case of this, it just isn't usable by me. We've still got a long way to go, obviously. TVs, we've talked about. We've still got issues with white goods. But I think it's getting closer. We saw that with CES this year, and even though they weren't referring to this as blind tech in any way, what they were saying was with apps and with smart devices and smart assistants, we can sort of communicate in a more understandable and a much more friendly and, in our case, a much more accessible way with our devices. Now, for most people, that's a gimmick, but for us, that's good news. Now, to carry this from phones to computers, we're seeing the same happen here. Now, for years, we've had Narrator in Microsoft, but frankly, it's just been awful. And it seemed last year that somebody at Microsoft said, we've got to fix this. And I don't think anyone's saying they should be competing against the likes of JAWS or any other screen reader, but I think Microsoft have just made a decision to say, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. It feels a bit late in the day, if I'm honest, but... Yes. It's there, and I've got my views, which I want to share with you on it, but I just want to get you guys, your opinions. I know, Tim, you've spent more time with it than Sean has.
That's not hard.
Unfair.
Wow. Well, it's true.
It's true.
Yes, it is true. Okay.
Yeah.
But what did you think of it, Tim? You've used JAWS at work for a long time. You still use JAWS, but would you ever make the switch to Narrator?
Completely, 100%. I don't know yet, because it is still a little early in the game, But for certain tasks, especially certain Windows apps and certain websites, perhaps it might be one of those situational kinds of things because of what it can do. And I say, you know what? It is late to the game, but better late than never, because yes, Narrator has been honestly quite awful for a long time. And these updates have gone mostly unnoticed because, well, when you're updating software that rarely is used by anyone, nobody's probably going to notice except people like us. Thankfully, yes, as you said, Microsoft has really taken a big step here. I think it was sometime early last year. I don't remember the dollar amount, but they had said we're going to commit, I don't know, $25 million or whatever millions of dollars it was to accessibility in Microsoft products. And I think we teased at the time, oh, well, they could spend half of that on Narrator and you know, still not be there. I think we actually said something like that. And well, I don't know how much they threw at Narrator, but they have thrown quite a bit, and the development of it is coming along nicely. I really think, I'm going to say it, it's a viable option for a screen reader.
Wow, who thought we'd be saying that in 20? We truly are living in the future. No, I totally agree. And Microsoft, particularly the accessibility team, have been doing great things. The webinar is just another example of their interaction with the community. You tweet them and they tweet you back. It's incredible. I've never known anything like it from a massive corporation. The accessibility team are great. And Narrator, as you rightly said, is improving. And I just use it as part of my toolkit now. You mentioned about 100% switching over. I don't know any screen reader where I would say, this is all I need. I still use, I think we've all got JAWS 2019, we've all got NVDA, and obviously we've all got Narrator because we've got Windows. And I tend to flick between a lot of them if I'm in the Windows setting or some, as Tim said, Windows app, then Narrator always works best. For me, I find NVDA works fine for most of my audio editing and things like that. So it's a case of whatever works for whatever section you're in. But I think in general, it's just accessibility is improving. It's not so much as an afterthought as it used to be. And I think Narrator is just proof of that.
And to the point of that afterthought with Microsoft, it is no longer an afterthought. And to these webinars, this isn't a one and done. This is the first of many. They have others scheduled over the next 2 months, one each month. And they say they're going to commit to that to continue each month, if they're popular enough, to continue doing accessibility webinars, not just around Narrator, but around other accessibility features of Windows and other Microsoft products. So I think that this webinar was a big start, or a continuation really, because the start was really seeing AI, Soundscape, and now the updates for Narrator. And this webinar is another major step for Microsoft to say, we get it. We want you to know how to use these things. We want to be viable. We want to be a part of this. So let's talk with you about how to do it.
And I think that's, you know, the webinar that Tim and I attended, online, obviously. You just get a link, you sign up on the Microsoft website, and if you're following Microsoft Accessibility on Twitter, then you'll be able to do that very easily. And they always put out notes of it coming up. But it just, you know, it was a really interesting event. I'll be honest, I kind of thought I'm going to tune into this, and, you know, I have spent a bit of time with Narrator recently, taking a lot of interest in it, and I thought I'm probably going to hear a lot of stuff I already know. And I didn't. I heard a lot of new things.
Yeah, I learned a couple things.
Yeah, and there's one thing in particular that I know Tim and I were a bit kind of, hello, really? I think you know what I'm going to say, because it did. It blew my mind a bit. Was they've kind of built in the seeing AI side of Microsoft's app that you can get on smartphones. This allows now for you to, on images only, maybe it'll come to other documents later, because the first thing someone asked was, can you do it with PDFs, please? But sadly not, but it does work on images. It can use seeing AI, so essentially artificial intelligence, to identify what is in an image. And I think that is pretty cool. What was the command again? Was it control insert D? Was that right? Was that it?
Control insert D or control Windows key D, something like that. We'll have to look that up and double check it. But D was the final
good
one.
Good to know you both paid attention.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'll be honest. There were points where they were saying things so quickly, and I was thinking, I really wish I'd brought my note taker.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was missing things as I go along. But interestingly, the features there, and, well, I say it's there, it may not be available on your computer yet, because this was the October update that was postponed, wasn't it? So it's still rolling out. I mean, I haven't checked mine today, but I know that when I've been trying recently, a lot of the features they talked about, like, for example, Insert F7, which is a command that a lot of screen reader users would use for getting the links list, that wasn't available in the version I've got. So I don't think it's fully rolled out yet, but it is coming.
Yeah, they are slowly rolling out updates. For instance, their modifier key, like JAWS, has insert, and even NVDA is insert, and also, I think, caps lock. They've done the same thing. It always was caps lock. Now you can also use insert. And like you said, they're going to use insert F7, F6, so you can get those links and all those kind of lists that you like to get, application lists and things like that. And all of that stuff excited me. I was very happy to hear them say that most, if not all, of the major shortcuts that you're used to on a screen reader like JAWS or NVDA will now be found in Narrator, in the new scan mode, where you can just literally arrow down a page and hear things instead of tab, tab, tab. You know, you can actually just arrow down and find what you want to find. So a lot of the updates that they've done, I was very excited about, was very happy to hear. But you're right, the one that I about fell out of my chair for, good thing I wasn't drinking anything or I would have spit, was when they said that seeing AI was built in, because I immediately was thinking Twitter, Facebook, blogs, websites where there's images that maybe they put a caption, you know, the alt text on it, maybe they didn't. And either way, seeing AI is going to tell me the best it can what's in that image. And I thought that was just absolutely amazing. I've had that thought that it would be wonderful to have that kind of technology built into a screen reader. I never really thought it would be there.
Okay, calm down.
But I was very happy.
Look, it's great, but let's be honest here. Object and image recognition isn't amazing at the moment. Seeing AI is good, and it's great, but thinking that you're going to get a perfect description of every image and it'll read the caption out, I'm not sure.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not saying that it's going to be a perfect description of the image every single time. Facebook, with its built-in image recognition, still doesn't quite always tell you what's yes. properly in the image. So I get it. It's in its infancy. But to have it as an instantly accessible option, as yes. opposed to on your phone, where you've got to take a picture, save the picture, open it up in an app, and then scan it in that app. And you've got to go through all these steps to get a particular image. If you want to get a specific image, you've got to go through all these steps to get the description of it. With Narrator, you just hit the keyboard command on the image, and it gets the description for you. I like the streamlined nature of that.
I'm going to be interested to see what our listeners think of this over the next few weeks, because, you know, if you've got a Windows 10 PC, it does have to be Windows 10. It does have to be the very latest edition of the operating system. So if you update regularly, you'll probably have this Narrator. And say you use JAWS or you're an NVDA fan, I'd be really interested to know what you think about this Narrator. I've got a few thoughts on this. I think there's two key benefits to this. I mean, aside the obvious, and the obvious one being that you don't then have to go and spend hundreds of pounds on JAWS, which of course will make a huge difference to businesses and others. You know, the big issue with NVDA for years has always been that, you know, yeah, NVDA is great and everyone who uses it raves about it and loves it. And yeah, they have their issues, but generally it's very well received. But of course, the problem is for business, and when you go into business with, say, you go to a job, they don't want to put something on their network that doesn't have any kind of backing or, you know, is open source, because they tend to shy away from that. You know, that yeah. might become problematic down the line, and why would you put yourself in that position? So something like JAWS, which is a commercial product, you can go and buy, then yes, that's a good idea. So that's the first thing, is that with Microsoft being a big recognized company and it's, you know, there, then why not? So I think that's a good thing. However, quick flip side on that, we don't want to get to the stage where everyone starts to think, oh great, we don't need JAWS anymore. There are people who will still need it, I would imagine. I mean, Narrator's not going to solve every problem.
No.
So let's not give the wrong impression here. There are still tasks that I'm sure JAWS, maybe not tasks Tim, Sean, or I will ever need it for, but you know, if you're in, I guess, maybe a science field or a mathematics, or you're a lawyer, then you might need those tools to do the job more effectively. So that's one side of it. But I think the benefits are that it gives more access to blind staff immediately to screen readers. Now, what this means is that, say, you're in a position where you are needing a screen reader, you're going into a job, and you tell your employer this. You say, right, I need a screen reader. Okay, so what do we do? Well, you just hold down Control Windows and then hit the Enter key. Oh, right, okay. That's it.
Yeah.
You can bring your settings with you, or you can set it up on the computer. It also means that as a worker, you're not tied to that computer that is yours, because, you know, it's the only one that's got JAWS on it. You can work on any computer. You can work on any machine in the office. So in a hot desk environment, as a lot of people do work in now, you will find that there are, you know, so many more options. I've been thinking about this. You know, I work with a laptop, so it's different for me because I can just take my laptop with me. But a lot of my colleagues work on desktops, and if they had to go to another desk, well, they couldn't. Simple as that.
Yeah.
You know. Whereas this doesn't solve any problems. It doesn't create any problems. It doesn't create any problems for the next user either. But I think there's a second benefit, and this is a much wider one. I think it allows business to really start, and not just businesses, but charities, any organization basically where there's a workforce and there's sighted people, allows them to experiment, try, and maybe even get close to understanding what it's like to using a screen reader. This is one thing we can all get round the table on and understand, because, you know, you don't really need sight to use it. You can just turn the screen off and learn it. And I think for businesses, this could be a really good thing, because what could happen potentially is that a workforce could, you know, sort of take it upon themselves to maybe nominate a day where you just, you know, turn off the screens, and, you know, you save your eyesight by
throw the monitors out of the window day. I like it.
But I just think, you know, how many times do we read about businesses and companies who have got staff who have got problems with their eyesight because of the amount of time they spend on screens? Look at, you know, Tim Cook stands up and says we need to spend less time on screens. And why I think these tools that are built into this software and built into every person's computer, in this case, is available and could be used to prevent potentially further sight loss down the line for people.
Wow.
You know, so I think there's real benefits here, and I think that if you have a team who can sort of use Narrator to proofread documents, make sure it's accessible, check that the whatever it is that they're sending around is accessible for the staff, I think that could make a big difference to sighted, to blind people who work in offices or work in any environment. Again, it just builds in that level of understanding. From a management perspective, it helps because you then know what your team are capable of. You know, you think, well, okay, I'm not going to give this task. You know, I remember being asked to do, kind of giving you a peek behind the curtain here, but I was once asked to check a logo, and I found this hilarious because I thought, I don't know, and they're asking me to check colours and does this match, and I have no idea. I have no knowledge of how to help you with this. So, you know, again, if you just can, we're never going to make people understand what sight loss is like, but if this helps people understand what the capability is,
yeah,
so that we don't get those kind of questions, then that could be a good thing. Like, so that's my
You point. Should never get what's this logo like question anyway. That's just craziness. But you're on a roll, Stephen. I mean, that is just fantastic points all round. Yeah, I mean, even just from the point of, you know, a company introduces a new system, a new way to do things, it's then so easy to say, okay, look, this is how I've got to do it. Just hit Control Windows Enter and you'll see that this isn't going to work. It's so easy for people to try it without having to, oh, well, I've got installed this software and it needs a, you know, a mirror driver for the graphics and whatever else, or it's open source NVDA. It's just, okay, this is part of Windows. We know it's safe, it's fine. And as you said, you've got full support there as well, Microsoft customer support. So there is no downside to this at all. As long as Narrator keeps getting those improvements and keeps getting those features that we need, then it's all good.
Yeah, I do completely agree with all of that. The only downside at all, if there is one, is what Stephen said at the beginning, and that's the fear that businesses will say, well, you've got access to Narrator. Why do we need to purchase JAWS for you? Or why do we need to acquire it somehow, you know, and get it paid for you? Why do we need to pay for that? And as you said,
it's a fair question.
And well, it's a fair question, but at the same time, like Stephen said, Narrator, at least at the moment, may not be the end all be all for everything that you do within that business. A lot of companies have specific proprietary software or software they get from third parties, and those may or may not be available or accessible with a Narrator, and you may have to use JAWS. Right now, as they told us in the webinar, they're currently not supporting scripting for Narrator, which is a very popular feature of JAWS to get third-party scripts to make apps more accessible with JAWS. So Narrator at this moment doesn't have that, but they said they are considering it. So there are benefits still potentially for using other screen readers, but Narrator is still doing well, and I think it is a good start, but I just fear that businesses will say, well, what do you need the other one for? Other than that, I think all the benefits are endless.
Yeah, and I love the idea of them using the same shortcuts as JAWS. And I know they don't like saying that. They're like, oh, no, that's not what we're doing. We're just you know, using
very literally
reader.
They didn't like saying that.
Yeah, very literally.
The question came in, are the shortcuts just like JAWS? And our shortcuts are very similar to screen readers you may be familiar with. That was the company line. But that's fair. I
that
understood
was, that.
That
was our, you know, other chocolate bars are available line. You know, that was basically, yes. The short answer was, yes, it is the same. And that's a good thing. I'm really pleased about that. And I think this kind of universality around this is really important. We've really got to get to a point where you can pick up any computer and you can use it. Now, I'm experiencing this with the Chrome system at the minute, because I'm using a Chromebook, which has got a ChromeVox built in. And again, it's a Pixel book, so it's much higher level of quality and capability than the cheaper ones. No harm to the cheaper ones, actually, as a, you know, if you've got full sight. These are great little machines, but when you add the processing power required for something like ChromeVox to do its job properly, that's where these machines fall down. If you've got sight, brilliant, but if you don't, or I'll be honest, even if you've got low vision, the screens on them are very low quality as well. So using magnifier, it's like looking at rhubarb and custard. So it's not much fun. The people of a certain age will need to know that one.
I know Tim doesn't know what you're talking about at the minute.
I know about rhubarb and custard.
Do you know rhubarb and custard? I think you
I've never had
live.
It, but I'm familiar with what they are.
Right, okay. Right, no, you don't understand.
Yes. I mean, I've had custard and I've had rhubarb, but not together.
It's not.
For once, it's not food from Stephen.
It's not food related. No, this is not a food thing.
Oh, never mind then.
Should we tell him?
No.
Right, okay. So, moving on. Let's talk about. So let's talk about some of the stories in the news, and there's actually quite a few that we can pick up on. I think the SE story was interesting. iPhone SE is on sale. And I guess the question is it time that we all gave up on the iPhone SE? I get this question a lot. You know, what phone should I buy? I'm blind. I want to buy a smartphone, or I'm thinking upgrading a smartphone. What should I get? And I used to say, as we all did, iPhone SE has to be. Yep. Would you still say that in 2019?
I think so. People still ask me that question. Is it still viable? Is it too old? I don't think so. It depends, of course, how long you're planning to keep it for. I don't know how much longer when iOS 13 comes out at the end of the year, how well it will run on that. But, I mean, currently, iOS 12 runs absolutely fine on an SE. I would say it's still an option, particularly at this lower price. I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with it at all. Right now, I believe in the US, it's $250 US price. I don't know what that's going to translate to, if it's going to be the straight 250 or the lower appropriate price in the UK.
Nope.
But probably just be straight 250. But that being said, I'll say what I was told recently when I made a trip to the Apple store, and that was the specialist there saying, he runs his iPhones until they're no longer accepted by the iOS, which I thought was very interesting that he would even tell me that out loud. But he said that that's how long he runs his iPhones. As long as they keep working with the iOS, he's happy with them.
That guy will never work again.
He'll never work again, no. And he's also their in-house accessibility expert, so go figure. But no, I think that the SE still is a a viable option, especially like you said, Sean, at this price? Is it the best option? Maybe not. Seven, you know, the iPhone 7 might be the new SE in a way. Some people are saying maybe the XRs is going to be the new SE going forward for blind people. But I think the SE is still fine.
Well, I think there's two factors here. There's the performance and then there's the screen size factor as well, the form yep. factor. Because, you know, if you're not bothered about the screen at all, then the smaller size of the SE is fantastic. Fits in your pocket nice and easy, and the battery life is good. So there's that. Performance-wise, I honestly don't think the performance is bad enough to, you know, say that you shouldn't buy one. I think the performance still, as I said, with iOS 12, is actually really good. I don't find it sluggish at all. So it depends which of those is more important to you. But performance, actually, I don't think is an issue.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would go further, though, and say that I think there's one other aspect, and that's connectivity. So here's your options at the minute. You can get the iPhone 7, you can get the iPhone 8. Well, there's plus versions of those if you really wanted them. And then, as you say, there's the XR, the XS. So those are your kind of options at the minute. But what are the key differences? Well, for me, I chose the XS because I just wanted to show off and then kind of wished I hadn't bothered. Because actually, I agree with you. I think the size of the phone is sometimes too big. And I don't really need all that screen. It's still quite a big, bulky phone. Yeah.
But you still can use the screen occasionally. So, I mean, that is an issue.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So I kind of have it for the good days versus the bad yeah. days when I use VoiceOver, which I'll be honest, I'm using more VoiceOver now than I've ever used. So the good days are not as important anymore on that. But what I will say is, I think for other people, here are the key things. iPhone 7 and iPhone 8, I would say, are pretty much very similar. Maybe slight differences in camera, maybe slight differences in processor. But the key difference between the SE and the 7 and 8 is that you don't get a headphone jack in pretty much any phone going forward. I mean, if you really want to go back and get a 6S, you could. And the 6S and the 7 are quite similar, so maybe that's an option. Maybe get a refurbished or reconditioned 6S if you really want a headphone jack. But I think, I mean, since the 6S and the SE are pretty much the same phone, you're kind of putting yourself way at the back of the queue, I think. That's my only concern. You're kind of pushing yourself. You're saying about buying a new phone. Like, if someone's buying a phone now,
yes,
I would want something that's a bit more modern. And I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to get used to the fact the headphone jack is gone. It is away. It's not coming
it's
back.
It's so sad.
I know. It is sad, but it's never coming back. I'm sorry, Sean.
I don't miss it.
Oh, okay. God, you're so modern, aren't
I don't.
You?
But there is one key thing, though. There is one key thing that I think you should think about, and that is the home button.
Yes.
Is it better to have a home button or not? I don't know. I've got used to not having one now, I must say. I mean, I still get annoyed occasionally, but frustration has gone away.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. Whatever phone you get used to how that works. Not having a home button, not having Touch ID, having Face ID instead, it doesn't matter. Of course, whatever you're using at the minute you think is best, but once you've had it for a while, it's second nature. You'll get used to it. So I don't think... the headphone jack is slightly different because it depends how much you need to plug into that and how often you use it. But as for the interface and the home button, I think it's just something you get used to.
Yeah, I think that's right. After you've used the non-home button phones of iPhone for a while, I do think that you get used to it. I'm still using an iPhone 7, so I've got the home button, but I have tried the other ones that don't have it. And yeah, it took a little bit of practice, but once I got used to it, it's not bad. I have those gestures on an iPad that are, you know, similar gestures to access things, and it's not horrible. So yeah, I agree. Once you learn it, you get used to it, you may even just forget that you ever had the home button. And the only point there really is, if you're somebody with no sight, I don't think it matters at all whether I have a home button or not, whether I have a bigger screen or not, because that's what getting rid of the home button does, is get you that extra screen size. If I had some vision and I wanted extra screen size, I guess it might be important to me, but I think it's an individual thing.
And actually, there is a way you can bring back the home button through assistive touch. You can actually put a home button back on the screen, so you could, in theory, still have a home button if you True. Really wanted one on the later phones. So I guess the question we've asked ourselves is, is the SE a good idea in 2019 to buy? I mean, it's on sale. It is clearly, you know, end of life. I mean, I don't think there's any opportunity of it coming back in any form. I mean, the way Apple iPhone sales are going, you never know. I think they need a cheaper option on the table, truthfully.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen them do more sales. I mean, I've seen a deal recently for the, it was the same in the States, Tim, but they're doing a deal at the minute on the iPhone X XR where you can get it for, I think it's £500 if you trade in your old phone. So they're clearly trying, you know, and Apple don't do this very often, but, you know, they're clearly trying to sort of stimulate sales. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to get into that discussion because whatever Apple does up to them, but I do think that they've really got to come up with a lower cost option, an entry level option. Because, and I think they're starting to realize that themselves because, you know, with iPhone sales slowing, well, you know, they're a business at the end of the day. They've got to make money.
Yeah. So I think that is important, though. That's the only thing to, I think, factor in is this is an older phone. As you said, it's sort of at its end of life. So if you're planning to keep it for more than 2 years, I think you may struggle. But other than
even
that,
more than 1 year.
Yeah, well, it depends how iOS 13 turns out. But yeah, absolutely. But it's still, right now, performance-wise and price-wise, it's great.
Shall we talk about Android then? Android Q is coming out. That is the latest version of Android's operating system. And there's only really one feature of note, but I will say, having used the Pixel 3 now for a while, I think this will be a really welcome feature, and that is dark mode.
Oh, I cannot wait for dark mode. That glaring white background with black text on it, it just totally burns whatever's left of my retinas out. I have... Dark mode is actually a big talking point now on lots of different platforms. macOS is trying to implement it. It seems to be really difficult for these manufacturers to put in place because you need to still make things visually look nice, but people just think it's a case of inverting. I have Smart Invert turned on my phone all the time, which is really good. And most apps support it. But, you know, it does invert photographs and pictures and images and icons as well. Inverts the colors so they look all weird. And, of course, the mainstream, normal people using looking at their screen visually, I put normal in air quotes, aren't going to be happy.
Yeah, I was going to let you just throw yourself
I know,
under that
I
bus.
Just caught myself. Yeah. Aren't going to...
The mainstream normal. There's a... I don't know, I think you offended everybody.
I know,
that.
I do apologise.
It was a universal offence.
They're not going to be happy with that display, so it is difficult. But there is research now, you know, going contrary to studies done previously about how black text on white background is so much easier and comfortable on the eyes, but now with low light situations that, no, actually it's not. It's far better to have the black background. So a lot of people are trying to implement this, and Android are trying to do it system-wide. So it's going to be great. I love the dark mode. It's just where you still get these apps that you open up and it goes bright white and it's like shining a spotlight into your face. So they need to get that sorted.
Tim, just for our benefit here, Tim, because I know listeners always ask this kind of question, you can't see anything, can you? So there's no light at all.
Nothing functional. I can sometimes recognize very, very bright lights. If you put something in front of my face, I might see the outline of it, but there's no definition, correct?
Call yourself blind.
Faker.
Right, okay, so... No, listen, I mean, the reason I asked that is because, for me, that's one thing about the Android phone that's kind of annoyed me. There is what we might call a high contrast setting, which is kind of like invert, I guess. It's not great, and it is system-wide, and it does work, but it just, as you say, it inverts everything.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that I need to see it, it's just what I need to do is reduce the amount of light. You know, I have my computer monitors in front of me when we're doing this recording, and, you know, I've got all these things around me, and I try where I can to dim the light as much as possible. However, that's not necessarily a bad thing in the sense of it's pretty good timing, because these days everybody seems to want to do that. I mean, we're seeing nowadays people putting LED strips around their photographs or their back of their monitors so they can get light emitting from the back rather than direct lighting. coming out from the front. That is a brilliant way of doing it. You see gamers doing this all the time, and actually I've taken a bit of inspiration from some gamers' YouTube videos I've maybe seen, where I've looked at their setups thinking, that's what I need to do, because it just reduces the amount of glare. And for me, glare is a continual problem. So the least amount of light I can get in to allow something to be usable is good. I'm not saying, I mean, I'll be honest, when something's in that mode, I don't tend to be able to use it anyway, but it does mean it cuts down all that horrible glare. So, yeah, I'd rather not turn the screen off on every occasion. And actually on laptops, you sometimes can't. So
that's right.
That's a nuisance.
Yeah. And of course, there's the flip side to it as well, particularly on phones and tablets, is that with OLED screens coming in and being far more common now, when an OLED screen is displaying black, it's not using any energy. The screen is basically off wherever it's black. Whereas with an LCD screen, the black areas, there's still a light on behind it, so it's still using power. So if the switch to dark mode will improve battery life on OLED devices quite a lot, actually. It will make a big difference.
This has got to be a bittersweet frustration for operating system developers, because third-party app developers have been trying to implement dark mode in apps slowly over the last couple of years, I'd say. And doing that in an app, specifically to one app, isn't as difficult because they have full control over that app and its color schemes and all that. But to go system-wide in an operating system, as you guys said earlier, is got to be difficult to make sure that it really matches up everywhere. But it's so popular, they have to almost, you know, follow the trend and implement this everywhere. So I'm not surprised to see that the rumor mill for Android Q is already saying that dark mode's coming, because it's such a popular feature and, you know, so many apps are already trying to do it. It'll be nice to see it go system-wide.
It's funny, though. I remember when macOS Mojave brought it in, and we kind of all just laughed. I remember thinking, yeah, oh, it was utter nonsense. What a stupid feature. Oh, the big deal is dark mode. Actually, it's really useful.
Yep, definitely. Well, we laughed, but in the actual room when they announced it, they went crazy for it. People have been wanting this.
Well, yeah, it seems to be. Look, we've not got much time left, but I do want to just quick programming note, because I just want to make it clear to our audience, because I feel we're kind of neglecting our listeners' emails a little bit, and I just want to explain why. So Chris hasn't been around, unfortunately, for a couple of weeks. He's had quite a lot on. So he hasn't been able to come in and read our emails for us. But on top of that, I wasn't actually meant to be here today. I'm on holiday this week. So in case you're thinking, why is he here and yet he's not on his Daily Connect program? Well, it's because I'm on holiday. But since we decided to get this show recorded earlier than we had intended to, I'm not going to lie, this is a recording. I mean, really, you think we could do this live?
Don't spoil the magic.
Come on. Look, you know, you've got to be honest with people. You know, do you think people honestly believe that we get in here at 1 o'clock? Do you think we could get Tim out of his bed by 1 o'clock, which is what, 9 o'clock in the morning over in America? I don't think so. I think people know better than that. They all know it's midnight at the moment when we're recording this. But yeah, since you decided to do this at this point, I thought, you know, I will join. I will grace you with my presence.
Oh, we're so happy. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought you
might
be. Yes,
thank you, Stephen.
So for that reason, we don't have anyone to read the emails, because we're kind of here and it's late for when we are recording. So for that reason, we will get to your emails for sure next week. In fact, so much so, we will start the show next week with emails. There you go.
Oh, you've done it now.
And, you know, please do get in touch. The email address, if you don't know, is techtalk@rnib.org.uk. I did listen through some of the emails through the week. I've got to say thank you to everyone who gets in touch and tells us how much they enjoy listening. I know some of you will never email us, and that's fine. You don't have to email, but we know you're there, and I think it's important. Well, yeah, it sounds a bit creepy, doesn't it?
We're imagining there. You there.
We're imagining you, and wow. It's a family show, so come on. But yes, we do appreciate you taking the time to send in, you know, emails, because every email we get is just... it's a great email. It just is. So thank you so much for that. But we'll get to them again next week. Chris will be here. Hell or high water.
Dragged in.
Yeah. But before we go, I just thought I'd mention 5G, because this has been on my mind, actually. We've never really touched it this year, and it is going to be, I think, one of the biggest changes to our mobile network over the next year. I mean, America, I think you're already seeing... green shoots, as they would say, of it. I think Verizon are starting to promote it in some cities and states.
I have been seeing it popping up here and there. Verizon, I believe AT&T just started to roll it out as well. T-Mobile is already talking about it. I don't know that it's out there. But yes, your wireless cellular companies are already pushing 5G and putting that out there, which is funny because the fact that we really don't have phones to use 5G on quite yet. But because of the fact they know it's coming, they're already putting it out there, which is great because all the rumors are that all your new Androids, your new iPhones, hopefully will have 5G this year. And I think it's a good thing. That it's a lot of why I didn't get a new 10S or 10R this past year. I'm going to wait for the new phone because I'm hopeful that it'll have 5G.
Yes, Stephen. Your phone's out of date already. Take it back.
Jumped in too quick. I know. I feel bad at it. Now I'm going to feel terrible this year if that happens. I hope it doesn't happen this year. But I know it will.
It will.
I am excited about it because, I'll be honest, I wasn't on board with it fully because it's one of those things. You know, it's like, well, what does this mean? You know, first of all, it's probably going to cost a fortune. And what does it actually give us? And having a read through some of the articles, it is interesting. You know, apparently... So my home broadband at the minute, I've got BT broadband, and it gives me 69 to 75 megabits download, which is fast. That's fast. That's fibre broadband. Yeah. So, you know, that's pretty good. I think that's the top. I think that's the best you can get, pretty much, at the moment, at least on that. I think on cable, if you're on Virgin, you get more. You can get up to 100 meg.
It's 200, there. I think, the top one. 200, yeah.
200 on Virgin and some providers are at 100. Mine here is 100.
So, you know, you're getting that kind of speed. But reading about 5G, over your mobile phone, you can get up to 300 megabits per second. And I'm thinking, okay. And I think the idea is that it's a much stronger network as well. And there's even talk, and I don't know how long this will take to implement. I mean, we could all probably take it tomorrow if it was an offer, but, you know, it would take a while to roll out. But I think there's probably a time coming where you won't need to have a, like a BT connection or a Virgin connection or a cable or even a landline, because essentially you could have a router in your house with 5G on it that serves your house, and it will be faster than anything they can deliver over ground. That's impressive, isn't it?
It is. And that's exactly the point, I think. This is like the next step. It's weird because it's called 5G and you just think, oh, it's just the next step up from 4G. It's just going to be a little bit faster.
But it's a big step.
it's a leap. And it's not only that. It's not only about the speed of it. The latency, which is how fast you can, how long it takes for computers to talk to each other, that is vastly increased as well. You know, so the latency is going to be really low. It's going to be really fast to send massive files to each other. And it's just going to, as you said, I think the point is that this is, if they can get the coverage, which will take a long time, but basically we're going to have really fast internet available everywhere. And it's, you know, it's cutting those cables again, which is just a general direction we're going in.
And because of that, I know, again, it is very early days, very limited implementation at this point, but the theory is that I understand this type of speed and latency is going to revolutionize everything that we do. Like you said, Stephen, it could replace home internet, home Wi-Fi. It could revolutionize how autonomous vehicles talk to each other in the future and how they may talk with other things around them, smart things in your community, how your smart home devices talk to each other, how our phones talk to each other. I've heard this talked about in medical circles where, you know, you go to the hospital and it will talk faster and better. So all this equipment that's going to come out in the next however many years will be able to access this 5G and talk to each other faster and better. And so it's going to be a major change.
That is the key discussion at the minute. It's not so much around the connection, although the connection will be faster, and for users it's going to be a big difference, apparently. And like you say, with the advent of 4K, 8K television, you know, the network really has, I mean, you're talking here, I mean, people talk about 8K TV. Now, it gets to a point where, and it'll not be far off, where you'll end up with TV systems that you can watch 8K movies or 8K films and you can download them. Those files will be massive.
Yeah.
And it would take, you know, half an hour to download them, maybe an hour to download them. You want to watch it now. And that's what 5G can bring. So that's one thing. And I think that's good, and I think we'll all benefit from that. But you're right, it's the connected things, as they call it. So it's not going to be so much for users to benefit from, although they will, but actually it's the technology, such as autonomous cars. And that's a really interesting area, because that infrastructure will allow those devices, and that's the key thing, they have to be able to talk to each other. That's how autonomous cars work. They communicate between each other. So one, they follow in a chain, or, you know, say for example, you're going out for the night and you book a car. I think the idea is in the future that you need a 6-seater car, but there's only a 4-seater available. Well, they just send two essentially in a chain, and they turn up, and then they take you to where you're going, and you get out, and they just split up again and go off and do more jobs.
They need to do that for trains. That would be amazing.
Well, I think that's essentially what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the idea of buses, trains, taxis, all that's going to merge into just one big unit, and that's kind of already what it's become. That you, the idea of even owning a car will disappear. Yeah. You won't own a car. You'll subscribe to a service that gives you a car.
Yeah.
Or you'll pay for it as you go, like you do a taxi.
Like CDs. It's going to be a thing of the past.
You won't buy them. You'll just, exactly. And you know, we've been so conditioned into the subscription world that this doesn't mean, I did see one company in the States, I think, starting a subscription service for taxis. And I can see that coming, and I can see it coming quickly. And I think people like us, we will really benefit from all of this. So 5G enables a lot of that. So, yeah, okay, technically, I mean, I don't really care how technically it works. I kind of pretend to feign interest. I don't care.
Well, let me tell you something technical. It's network slicing is a feature that is amazing for 5G because it allows you to say, okay, I'm just a video doorbell. I don't need a lot of speed or latency. It's fine. And the network can adjust to that, what it needs, what a device requires. And that saves bandwidth for other devices. So that is a key feature. Sorry I bored you, Stephen, but that excites me.
You did bore me. Well, I'm glad something excites you. The only time I've seen you so animated was when the delivery arrived from the Indian restaurant. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, what time is it?
I know, actually, what time is it? Because I think mine's due as well.
It's time for Indian, yeah.
I think it's time because it's time for us to go. Listen, we didn't get a chance to talk about City Shortcuts. What a shame.
Oh, shame. You did that on purpose.
You did. I think you did that on purpose.
Next week.
Well, look, you two can talk about it all you like next week. Maybe I'll take next week off. But listen, thank you so much, guys, for coming on. Thank you for letting me, you know, interrupt your party, because it was going to be your show this week.
I know. We were going to go crazy, but no, it was fine.
Yeah, we were going to just, you know, have all kinds of fun and throw a party and, yeah, but
invite friends around. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then Stephen comes along and spoils it all as usual. Listen, that is it for our show. Do keep the emails coming in. Really appreciate them. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. It is great to get your feedback on the show, and we will talk to you again next time for another Tech Talk. Bye.
Bye.
And be sure to visit lifeafterblindness.com. Goodbye.